Thank you for another beautiful 24-hour slice of eternity. None of us aren't promised tomorrow, Father. So thank you for the gift of today. May we just use it to glorify you, to grow more intimate with you. I pray your Holy Spirit will illumine everyone's mind to grasp this wonderful truth of our spiritual blessings in Christ. I pray if there's someone unsaved, Father, in church today, or they'll be watching or listening, I pray your Spirit just convicts their heart of their need, that they're a sinner, can't save themselves, and they'll come to Christ for his provision, trusting in his finished work. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today is, we're at Faith Bible Church. Everybody probably, hopefully knows that, right? It's 6/23, I believe, from right, 2019. And I'm teaching a series based on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and how in Christ we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And today I'm going to, for Sunday school, because I'm doing your wife, Lori, called or texted me and says, I'm looking forward to your doubleheader because I'm teaching Sunday school and church, so I feel really blessed. Hope y'all don't get bored with me if you fall asleep. I did bring these little things to throw out at you. Hear me, Bill? I got busted Bill one day. He's putting his head down, and I said, Lori, you know, poke him. And she pokes him. I know you're not sleeping right, Bill. You were praying for me, right? So anyway, we're going to get right into it. I'll save the announcements, I guess, for church. So we're going to look at, for Sunday school, we're at adult Sunday school, and we're going to look at one of our spiritual blessings are we're children of God and children of the light. We're not of darkness anymore. Think about it. We were born into this world in darkness, right? We were under Satan's domain, and we were on a course straight to hell when we're still sinners, right? Enemies of God. Don't ever forget, just because we understand salvation and we're saved by grace through faith, don't ever forget what we were. We're enemies of God, right? And God demonstrated his love in this, what? While we are still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Not only did he save us, and he forgave us of our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins, because they were all future 2,000 years ago, weren't they? That's the negative. He took that away. But also, this is why I'm going through these spiritual blessings, because God has blessed us in a positive way. He declared us righteous. And because we're righteous, he gave us spiritual life, resurrection life. Now we have Christ's spirit indwelling us. Christ is indwelling us. And the Christian life is not you trying to perform in your flesh to flesh it out. It's dependence on Christ. And taking, we rightly divide the word, which is so important, right? But it don't stop there. Some people stop there. They just get the knowledge, right? But we're supposed to know where our instructions, where our promises are. How do you walk in the Spirit in the dispensation of grace? We got to go to Paul's epistles, right? That's why it's important to rightly divide the word. But then you got to apply it, right? The Christian life is lived out by faith. Paul said what? It's no longer I who live. I'm not trying to live this Christian life in my own strength. That's what, in 90%, I'm being nice, 90. This morning, the pastor or the Bible teacher is trying to get people to live the Christian life. You couldn't save yourself, could you? So you really think you can live the Christian life in your own resources and strength and flesh? No. And that's where most Christians are. They're getting beat up today. You know, they're not being taught their identity in Christ. On Facebook this morning, I said, when I start out my Christian life, I started out in legalistic church for years, and I was beat up. trying to do things, recommitting, walking that aisle every week, right? Come up to the altar, recommit to the commitment you broke last week, and then, you know, you get all pumped up till Monday comes, and then Tuesday, and by, you know, you had to go Wednesday night to get, you know, I went to a legalistic Pentecostal church, which is a lot of emotionalism, so they had to puff me up. But the Christian life is a life of dependence. Christ saved us, and as we depend on him, and we take these instructions and walk in that truth, Christ expresses life through us. And there's the joy of the Christian life. It's not a burden, unless you're trying to do something impossible, you trying to live it. It's Christ gave it to you. And what does Colossians 2:6 say? As you began in Christ Jesus, how'd you begin? By faith, dependence on him to save you. Continue in him. How do you live Christian life? In dependence and faith in Christ. Trusting him. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And just in case you're thinking about leaving after Sunday school, I'm going to deal with freedom from the power of darkness. You might not want to miss that one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Hold on one sec. Probably wouldn't be real attractive if my nose is running. It might be a memorial service, but you know, don't want you to remember me for that. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So who are you if you're a believer? A dear child of God. What's dear mean? Yeah, it's a special, enduring term, right? You're a dear child of God. God loves you dearly. You're so special to him. You're accepted in the beloved. When he looks at you, he's not mad at you. He's smiling. Because you're the righteousness of God in Christ. And we need to be reminded of that, right? Didn't you mess up this week? I did. I came up short. You know, I always say, ask my stepson Jacob how patient I am. And you know, God will use people to show you, you know, and we'll say, ooh, they made me mad. They made me mad, right? You can't stir beans in a pot if there ain't no beans. Nobody made us mad. It's how we responded, right? So if I'm responding impatient, I mean, Jake will push my buttons, but it's not, he can't make me respond in a certain way. You know, sometimes situations show where we're walking. Are we walking in spirit? You know, walking in flesh. And that shouldn't get us where our focus on our failures. It should just be a red light saying, oh, I'm not focused. I got my eyes off the Lord. Ding, ding. Get them back on, right? So we're dear children. We're children of God. Yes, God declared us as full-grown sons. That means you're fully, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We lack nothing. You know, we've received the adoption, right? And that's when the father, it's not like we adopt somebody who was in another family, maybe an orphan. We, you know, that's what we think of adoption here. And I think most of you know about this, but maybe some don't. And sometimes we forget there's people not as grown as we have. We've been under the grace message a long time, and then we think, I know this stuff. What about the other one? You didn't always know everything, you know? Yeah. And then some people think they discovered this all themselves. You know, all puffed up. Like, I think of one ministry, they put down Pastor Stam. If it wasn't for Stam and O'Hare and them pioneers, you know, recovering that grace truth that, you know, was in Scripture, but it was covered up by religion in the Dark Ages, they lost it. Even in Paul's, while he was still alive, they were deserting his apostleship and ministry, right? And some people get all puffed up like, oh, they know it. They know it all now, you know. And when you think you're there, Paul would say in so many words, you ain't. You know, when you think I've arrived, even our great apostle Paul said, not that I'm perfected yet. You know, I know I ain't. I'm still growing. You know, praise God. But what he began in you, he's going to finish. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad he doesn't smack you around, leave you down, and walk away? No. When we fall, when we trip up, when we make bad choices, because we don't have to. We already dealt with, I think, last week, how the cross broke the power of sin in our lives. The sin nature is there, but it broke the power of sin, so we don't have to give in to it. But we do at times, don't we? So, but we don't have to. One thing I learned about grace was I don't got to keep doing something, okay? Because you have Christ in you, and we can do all things through Christ. Now go to verse Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 11. This is what we were. And Paul, if you look at it, Paul always tells you who you are in Christ. He reminds you to the saints in Corinth. What? You know, people say, oh, Christian can't continue in sin. Lordship salvationist, right? And look at the Corinthians. And Paul says, to the saints in Corinth, with all the saints everywhere. You know, but what Paul does, he reminds you your identity, who you are in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ, right? You're holy, without blame, perfectly acceptable to God. And he tells you that, and he said, why are you doing that? And you think, yeah, it's kind of stupid, isn't it? I don't have to be doing that. That's not who I am. No. So he says, for ye were sometimes in the past darkness. We were without God, the Gentiles, right? And not only that, as an individual, we were without God in the world. That's some of the loneliest words, I think, in the Bible. Without God in the world, Ephesians, Paul tells us in Ephesians. But don't you love the but nows of Paul? Or when he says, but God, see, God interceded for us. For you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. So who are you?
Your children.
Look at the person next and say, if you're a believer, you're light in the Lord. And then maybe we'll tell them, and if you ain't, you can't be today. Trust Christ, died for your sins, you're buried and rose again, you're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, right? And you can be a child of the light too. That's a pretty good self-image, isn't it? You know, psychobabble tells us we need to love ourselves more, right? You need a high self-image. No, we love ourselves too much. Christ said, love others as you love yourself. See, they twist it. There are no Christian psychiatrists. There's no Christian psychology. There's Christians that teach secular psychology. There's a place, it's called CAPS, Christian Association of Psychologists. And they ask them, what's the difference between what you teach and what secular psychology teaches? And really nothing. But what they do, they try and find a verse to match fallen man's ideas. So they say, Christ said you got to love yourself more. He didn't say that. He said, love others, the focus on others, as you already love yourself. Paul tells us no one ever hated himself, but you take care of yourself, your body, you feed it, and you know. So we don't need a high self-esteem. We don't need a low self-esteem. We need a proper self-esteem. Who does God say you are? Because that's who matters, isn't it? Doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks. What your mother-in-law thinks, father-in-law, your enemy thinks, your brother and sisters think. What does God say you are? That's the most important thing. And who are we going to go before? We're going to go before Christ. And God says, you're dearly loved children, holy without blemish, righteous in his eyes. That's a pretty good self-image, isn't it? Does that make you want to walk around like, I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. I'm so humble. Do you notice how humble I am? Right? That makes you want to walk tall, not in pride. It's like a dignity. We're children of God, you know, God Most High. Praise God, you know. So he says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So you're light in the Lord, so what should you do? What's he say? Walk as children of light. Why? Because that's who you are. Are you being fake? No. You know, I remember when I was under legalism and I used to mess up, you know. I did good. I went to a revival. You know, Pentecostals are great for revivals. Yeah. For 3 months, I drove my bike in the rain to that revival. Man, I was doing good. And I hadn't went back to doing drugs and partying for these 3 months, right? So somebody said, hey, Paul, I heard you're on the wagon. I said, no, bro, I'm driving the wagon. What happens? Pride comes before a fall, right? Well, what happened was, I'm walking down the street, and Satan can't make us do anything. All he can do is deceive us, right? That's all he can do. He can't make you do anything. And I'm thinking, you know what? This ain't me. I ain't no goody two-shoes. So I didn't know I was justified in Christ. I didn't know my identity in Christ. And I said, forget this. I'm just going to go get high. But see, Paul, that's why you got to go to Paul to find out your identity in Christ. He writes to the body of Christ, right? Peter ain't writing to you. We can learn from Peter. We can learn from James. We can learn from Moses, you know, David. We learn Bible principles. But find out who you are in the body of Christ. That's that mystery truth. See, all that doctrine, all that truth about the body of Christ, the rapture, the dispensation of grace, you know, this was hid in God, what Christ actually accomplished, not just for Israel, but Satan had no idea he was going to form the body of Christ that would fill them positions of authority in heavenly places. He didn't know we're going to be seated with Christ high above all principality powers. Continued in church later. So Paul says, walk, because you are a children of light, walk as children of the light. For you were sometimes darkness, so time passed, right? But now, time passed, but now, walk as children of the light. Only makes sense, right? That's walking in spirit. It's walking in truth. It's walking in the power of the spirit. You know, it's not slapping people in the head, shake, they start shaking, roll, and hop, pop, and zip. You know, remember, bing, 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 ricochet rabbit? That's how my Pentecostal church I went to, and I love them people. I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything, but it was built on a lot of emotionalism, and they were trying to get back to doing them things in Pentecost, and I never seen the dead raised. I saw people saying they got healed from inward things you can't see, headaches, you know. But there was a lot of people that had really good hearts there and loved the Lord more than I see sometimes. Some people know how to rightly divide the word because it's got up here. Now, if we can get, like I always tell people, the way I preach is I'm like a Pentecostal with the enthusiasm that preaches like a dispensationalist. You know, we should have some passion. Mary's got a friend who's a little charismatic. She used to run when she worked. She'd take a track, she'd see somebody walking by. She'd run out there. Here, I got good news for you. I mean, sometimes mid-ex believers that do understand grace, but do you really? Because what do I always say? You ain't grasped grace till grace has grasped you. It's grasped not only your mind, but your heart and your will. God doesn't overrule our will. It's God who works in you both to will. He's working within our will. We have a choice to will and to do according to his good pleasure. You know, he allows us to be used by him. I love it, man. I get excited when I come. You know, that's my gift. I know the pastor and Dave don't believe in spiritual gifts. I don't believe in sign gifts. But I do believe every believer's got a spiritual gift, at least one. I know mine is teaching and preaching, you know. Some people is encouragement. You know, some people I do believe have a gift of giving. And so, now wait a minute, don't say, well, I ain't really got that gift. So, right? You learn from somebody who's got the gift. If somebody's got a gift of evangelism, watch them. Watch how they interact with people and get into sharing the gospel. You learn. That's what the gifts are for, to edify and build up the body. You know? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. How's that, honey? Twice. She's telling me to say it three times. 1 Thessalonians. Y'all got it? 5, verse 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Can somebody not in darkness lose their salvation? No, because you ain't in darkness. God transferred you out of that, translated you out of darkness. And God's not an enemy giver. He don't. When you mess up, he don't throw you back into darkness. See, you have new life, eternal life. Why does God call it eternal? Is it temporary? Is it probation? It's eternal, right? That means forever life. Because you have the life of Christ in you. And is he ever going to die? No. So you're never going to die. Now we can waste our lives, you know, and getting caught up in, you know, especially if you don't get into this word. Because it says, what? Be transformed, changed. You're transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. This word changes your thinking. And then you transform outwardly, you know. So if you don't get into this word, I'll guarantee you, you will think like the world. You'll be conformed. You're molded into this thinking. Satan's got a course, don't forget. There's two ideas. When you think of course, what do you think about? Like a ship. This world's on course, you know, towards the Antichrist, one world religion, one world government. And Satan's going to had that happen after the rapture, right? But you can see things being set up. It's not like signs are happening now. We live by faith and not science, right? But if you're getting close, when we just came back from the Bible conference, wasn't it great? Oh, Dave, man. I heard the message, a couple of them. We didn't say the whole thing. But I'm getting to see the CDs or the video. Dave, man, did a fantastic job, didn't he? I was just like, I never, amen. The Lord used Dave.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit gave him illumination because the things he was teaching, I've read over and over, and I didn't see them things. But that's what the body of Christ is, happens. All of us edify. That's why it's we need to come and assemble together. Get with other believers because we edify one another. We encourage one another because in the world, you know, they're going to try and get you to shut your mouth. They don't want to hear about Christ, except the ones who are know something's wrong. And we got the answer, you know. The question is, do we love them enough to reach out, you know? That's why I always try and encourage up here and why I ask, what are we doing as an assembly? Yeah, we come to church, we get built up. And then the pastor's job, the Bible teacher's job, is to edify the believers with sound doctrine. So then the believers can do the work of the ministry. It's not the pastor's job to lead your family to the Lord or your friends. It's his to lead his own. And it's good. Bring him, because maybe, you know, the Holy Spirit will convict them under the word. But our church needs to have some outreaches. Not to get more people in there. Get more people saved and more people built up in sound doctrine and let it shine a little bit more, because we're all children of light, right? And when you get a lot of children of light together, boy, it starts shining, huh? I thought of a joke, but I'm not gonna say it. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet, and I work for a nonprofit organization. But you know where Paul says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet? You know, so remember that next time somebody goes too far over. Oh, the Holy Spirit made me do it. All right, we're 5:45. And then go to verse 9-11. First, I'm in it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9-11 now. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's talking about there, don't you?
Tribulation.
Yeah. That tells us we're going to be raptured before God pours out his wrath. And that whole 7-year tribulation period at Daniel, that's the tribulation period. You know, some will say, well, he don't start pouring out his wrath till later. It's the 7-year tribulation. That's why we call it the 7-year tribulation. And when you understand your identity in Christ, you're part of the body of Christ. You understand to go to Paul's epistles because we rightly divide the word. You don't have to fear going through the rapture. You don't have to fear global warming because the earth is always going to be here. God's going to make it new. So you don't get sucked in all that. See how sound doctrine will protect you from foolish things in the world. Protect you from Jim Baker. Remember Jim and Tammy? Who they were in that Word and Faith movement, PTL Club. Well, he went to jail. They had air conditioning for their doghouse, and you know, it's all about the money, right? And he admitted it later. He said, I really learned a lesson. You know what he's doing now? Selling $1,000 survival kits going when you go through the tribulation. See how important it is to rightly divide the words? You don't get sucked into that stuff. And instead of being afraid, I knew a lady, lived in Tennessee, we were friends, talked to her on her phone, and the pastor was steady telling them they're going to go through the tribulation. She was so afraid. And I'd show her how Paul says that we're not appointed to wrath. So before the Antichrist even comes on the scene, before that seven-year starts, we're gone. We depart. You know, like they want to say the departure means people departing from the faith. There'll be a lot of that going on, but that means what happens when you go on a plane, when you go to the airport? You go to the departure, because you're going to depart to be absent. If we die, I was going to say to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're gone too. And that could be today. Could be tomorrow. So if I was not saved, I would want to make sure I know the Lord. And God offers salvation freely. It's only a fool who walks away. People are like, well, I want to live my life, and you know, later, you know. Because down south, especially, they'll say, you got to turn from all your sins and commit your life to God. That ain't the gospel. Whoever stops sinning? Christ never sinned. Every other believer, you might sin less as you grow in grace, but nobody's ever turned from all their sins. So people think, well, I got to get my life together before. And the thing is why it's so important to rightly divide the word too, because the salvation message is different in our dispensation. It ain't repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Today, what? It's believed that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Our sins, personally, right? Not just, I know Jesus died on the cross. I was taught them catechism. I was taught them Sunday school. It was buried in the rose, yeah. No, but do you realize you were such a sinner, filthy and before God, totally unrighteous. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, Scripture says, right? Do you realize you can't save yourself? And you realize your condition? I'm a sinner before a holy and perfect, loving God. And then when I know that, then I hear I'm saved. You can be saved by grace. Unmerited favor, unearned. You're saved by grace. Through what? Faith. What's faith? I trust. I make a decision to trust. It's a gift of God. It's not of yourselves. It's not of no works. You can't earn it. God won't let you have your fingerprints on it. You receive it by faith. Now, when you realize your condition, you'll come to Christ for his provision. You know, but in church today, what do they want to do? They want to water it down. Let's not talk about hell. You know, you got that emerging church movement. Let's take all the crosses down because it might offend somebody. Not that you got to have a cross in your church, but you better preach the cross. Better preach the blood of Christ. Better preach his resurrection, because it ain't just he died. Look at Romans 6. It says, we died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We rose with Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection. See, it's very important to understand the whole gospel. Most people get half evangelized. All they hear is Jesus died for your sins. That ain't it. Paul says that's half of it. Paul says if Christ didn't rise from the dead, we're still in our sins, right? So he had to rise in order to save us. The cross and the blood dealt with our sins. A dead man needs what? Life. He came that we might have life and life to the full. Whether it's that's going to be for Israel's future or us now. So you come to Christ to receive life. Because we were born in Adam, what? Spiritually dead. When we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, we weren't cut out of Adam yet. We were born in the fallen human race. And when the Spirit of God left Adam, the moment he rebelled against God, he believed the devil's lie. You can be like God. You don't need God. And what's in our country today? Why it's falling apart? We don't need God. I don't want to hear about God. Take God off the dollar bill and God we trust. You know, let's teach this and everything but God. And that's why our country is in trouble. Because our roots, not everybody was a Christian. Don't believe that extreme either. But almost all the church fathers believed in the Bible. They believed in a God. You know, some said you can't rule without this word. Because who's to say what's right and wrong? If there's no absolutes, you know what an absolute is? It's an absolute truth that's the same for all people at all places at all times. It was the same 2,000 years ago as it is today, and it will be. And if this world lasts, you know, might not last all that long. Because Christ could come back at any time. You wonder how long will God put up with the way the world's getting, even our country is getting. He's long-suffering right now, right? He's holding back his wrath. But one day, man, when that trump sounds and we're gone, that's believers, then it's going to be a whole... Man, they think the weather's bad now. You think about volcanoes, and Christ said in that tribulation period, what? It's a time like the world's never known. God's going to pour out vials of his wrath. Imagine God, who's all-powerful, right? Holding his wrath in. Why? Because God doesn't desire anyone to perish, right? He's giving sinners who don't deserve it an opportunity to trust, to become part of the body of Christ. But there's going to come a time, we don't know when, no prophecies being fulfilled today, that early prophetic ministry, which, you know, you watch Christian TV trying to say, ooh, this is happening, that's happening, you know. That's not, we live in a secret time, the mystery, Paul says, right? Paul tells us what it's going to look like. It's going to be perilous times for believers, especially, because they're going to get more and more vicious. Then you're going to find out who's going to stand for Christ. And those that are all self-righteous and, I'm committed to God, you watch them crumble because they're standing in their own strength. It's those who have understood that no temptation is overtaking you except that's common to man, but God is faithful, right? He'll give you a way to endure it. Didn't say take it away. That's why it's so important to get edified and sound doctrine. You know, we might not be here then, but it could happen anytime, right? But I sure, if I was an unbeliever, I wouldn't want to be like waiting around. Because not only that, when an unbeliever dies, what happens? Believers go to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Praise God. Oh, death, where is thy sting, right? Believers are winners, man. Win, win, win situation under grace. But unbelievers will go to hell. And it can't be changed. And I think one of the worst torments, besides talks about fire and torment and the like biting of their tongue, or, you know, is to know, I heard the gospel. I heard it. I heard it more than once. I heard it once. I could have trusted, and I'm here. Why? That's how it's going to be for eternity. I encourage anyone, if you've never trusted in Christ, or if you think you were saved by your commitment because you're trying to serve God, trying to be good, you better repent. You know what repent means? Have a mind change. Theology is messed with that word. It's metanoia, is it? Repent. Anyway, it means mind change, going from unbelief to belief. Believing what God says. It's so important to be saved. What's God's will? That all men be saved? And then what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. So what should be our goals in our personal lives? To reach out to the lost, right? God's desires all, that's generic, men. It's children, boys, girls, men, women to be saved. And then after that, what's he want them to do? Come to the knowledge of the truth. You got to learn about rightly dividing the word, learn about the mystery, learn about how do you walk in the spirit in the dispensation of grace so you can invest your life in others. I got to give my brother Ray a hand out there. He's doing a Bible study with a couple brothers, right? And he's investing, you know, as you learn. And you don't got to know a whole lot for salvation. Memorize 1 Corinthians 1 to 4 and Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You can lead anybody to the Lord.
1 Corinthians 15.
What'd I say?
1 to 4, just 1 Corinthians 1 to 4.
Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And you can lead somebody to the Lord. You can present them with the gospel and then challenge them to believe it. Because you ain't evangelized them until you challenge them to make a decision. You've planted seeds up till then. But they got to know there's a decision to be made. Are you going to walk away? Are you going to trust and receive eternal life freely? I'm going to hit one more verse. I got one more minute. Colossians 1:12. I got to close on time because I said that verse earlier about, you know, like I said, I'm not a prophet, but where Paul said back then they had prophets going, you know, it's not the Holy Spirit makes you go over. You got control over your spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. This is what To me, after hearing this message and thinking about it, and then after church today, this is what it should cause to happen in our life. Giving thanks unto the Father. Think of God blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Have you meditated on that lately? Have you thanked Him for the individual? You know, I got 45 spiritual blessings in this series. Some get 100. That's why I ask, can you name 10 off the top of your head? No? Then keep coming to this series. Because you should know them. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, that idea is qualified, to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in the light. We need to give God thanks. He took us out of darkness. We're spiritually dead, right? And He gives you meaning and purpose for life. He loves you with the love so intense, think of the cross. We have intimacy with God if we choose to access Him through prayer and through His Word. I'm praying that this series causes revival in our personal hearts. Mary's going to come and come up and do a song before we close. And I'll start 2 minutes late in church service, right? This way y'all can get your gossip in. Here's the heart of our ministry, Grace and Truth. Because you don't want me to sing.
Amen.
You heard me. You must have heard me at the conference.
I'm going to put this down here. So it's good to be back. We had an awesome time at the conference.
Amen.
And if you haven't had a chance to go to it, make sure at some point that you get there. Because it's a wonderful
Amen.
Blessing. So I'm going to do Victory in Jesus. Hopefully this works. If not, I got my backup.
Victory beneath the
sing it.
Jesus, my Savior.